This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 31st of January, 2018. My name's Davey McGimsey. Paddy Smith's off skiing, so he's left Simon and myself in charge. We've brought along Victoria Steveley to join us. Adam Keefe, the Belfast Giants head coach, comes on to look back at the weekend and forward to the weekend coming. And we're joined all the way from Cardiff by Todd the Killer Kilman. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. All the usual places, Facebook, Twitter at AVFTB. Want to email us, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Have a listen in at our SoundCloud for all the interviews. Instagram, Jimmy Squigger's pictures are fantastic. But for now, I think it's time we got on with the show. Tuesday, Wednesday, A View from the Bridge is back, and Paddy, as we've already said, is off skiing, so we're joined this week by UTV's finest, Victoria Steveley. Victoria, welcome to A View from the Bridge.
Thanks very much for having me.
Just like Mark Garside got two-time Rookie of the Year, this is their second debut on the show, which we'll explain probably at some stage later, but joining Victoria, as always, the big man on campus, Simon Kitchen.
Evening, or morning.
Yes, Simon, yes. For anybody that's wondering about the little jokes, we recorded last night. A few technical difficulties meant that it was just going to be 1 hour and 20 minutes of me talking questions to myself. So we thought we'd get the guys back on. And look, let's look back at what was somewhat of a disappointing weekend. We'll start as we always do with the first game. We went to Nottingham on Saturday night and unfortunately came away with a 4-2 defeat. Panthers opened the scoring through Luke Pitter, new signing of theirs, came in during the week, scored in his near enough his first shift. David Clark comes up with a power play marker to put them 2 ahead, and at that stage we're a bit behind the 8 ball, and you know, Brendan Connolly, Brandon Benedict with his 4th and 4 comes back, gets us back into the game. No scoring through the second period. In that third period we ran into a bit of penalty trouble, and Pitter coming up with a power play goal of his own, and then Evan Mosey rounding out the scoring to make it 4-2 with an unassisted marker just sort of 40 seconds before the end of the game. Jackson Whistle and nets for the Belfast Giants, turning away 20 of the 23 shots he faced, and Patrick Galbraith between the pipes for the Panthers that night, turned away 32 of the 34 shots he faced. Belfast Giants 7 power play opportunities, didn't score. Panthers got a couple of their power play opportunities, and Simon, a night of what could have been, maybe.
Davey, I thought we played well. I mean, I watched the whole game back yesterday. You know, we had our chances, and you know, didn't get off to a great start. They managed to get 2 goals in the first 10 minutes, but we reacted really well and got 2 goals of our own to tie things up by the end of the first period. You know, Galbraith played well for them, in fairness. We outshot them. We made them work hard in their own building the game. And you know, when you're on the road and you look, we've seen the Nottingham Panthers 2 weeks ago, but they're a good team. They are a really good team. And when a new team gets a player coming in there a day before, making his debut, and, you know, he looked half decent in fairness. You know, that always gives the whole room a bit of a lift. And that's when I feel, you know, definitely helped the Nottingham Panthers. And the big thing for me was our special teams just weren't good enough on the night. Whether it was a power play or the penalty kill, you know, they did better than us in those areas. 5-on-5, you know, we're going to win that game. But unfortunately, as you said there in the intro, we took a couple of penalties, which probably, you know, looking back at it, you're going, God, you know, it's one of those things where they're hockey players and you sort of just want to, the 5-on-3, I keep on going back to it. You know, when I was playing 5-on-3, you genuinely had to take a guy's head off. And I think the soft call on slashing call for Martinelli was crucial, and they obviously got the game-winning goal, and Pitter got a second of the evening. So, disappointing, to be honest. You know, the weekend certainly didn't turn out the way anything we envisaged, because we were playing well getting into the weekend. But, hey-ho, we'll move on.
Victoria, Simon's touched on the special teams there, maybe a bit guilty on the penalty kill of being a bit more standoffish than we have been over the last number of weeks, and we just couldn't get the puck between the pipes on the power play either.
Yeah, it's something that has come up, you know, a few times throughout the season, and you know, something I've spoken to, and I'm sure you guys have as well, to Kiefer after games about, and there has been that feeling that it's something they, as a team, have to try to work on, and you know, it just hasn't quite come together yet. I think that's, you know, maybe that's a bit disappointing that they just haven't been able to make those strides. PK at times hasn't been bad, but you know, in this game, then you've allowed the Panthers to capitalize on their chances, and yet not been able to take your own when the Giants have had their power plays. So, you know, it is such a crucial thing. And, you know, I guess with the PKs as well, you know, the team, the more of them you're having to take, the harder the team as a whole is having to work. And that can just cause you to suffer as much as anything.
I think from my own perspective, guys, you know, Simon's touched on as well, you know, we outshot this team 34-24. We kept them to 24 shots in their own barn. We've 3-10 more in Galbraith, and they've thrown a whistle. And, you know, through that first period, 18 shots to 5. We came out well, we were fire. Yes, we've coughed up those two, one from a turnover, one from a power play. And, you know, you're up against it, and we're playing good teams here. The Panthers are a good team. We've had a few looks at them over the last couple of weeks. But, you know, it's just a bad time of the season for the sort of the goals they've dried up over a weekend. We've been sort of free scoring over the last number of weeks. And I think over the weekend, this is the score that disappointed me most, because we were, for a large portion of the game, like Sunday night we'll go on to, where we're only in for a few minutes. Saturday night we were in the game probably for 50 of the minutes of the game. So, you know, disappointing from that point of view. Simon, does this put any sort of, we'll go on to the Wednesday night game in a while, but does this put any sort of a marker down for Wednesday night for the Panthers?
No. You know, it's the league campaigns, the marathon, this Challenge Cup run, and you know, you want to win your home game, and then on the road, the Nottingham Panthers are usually half decent, and they'll just try and close things down, especially if they get a lead getting into the next Wednesday. But tonight, you know, the Panthers will basically come out tonight, and they'll try and put the pressure on the Giants straight away because of the weekend. It's one of those ones where, you know, it's you don't pick up anything at the weekend. It's a horrendous performance on Sunday, which we will chat about in a minute. You know, I don't think so. I think it's a sort of different mindset. You know, yes, it's not a one-off game, but you know, it's 120 minutes, you just want to get out there and try and give yourself a chance to get in your own building next week.
Victoria, we talk about the four-band system and discipline and stuff that's came in. I think there's 16 minors in a game, which, nothing really much happened. It was played in a decent, and as games have been over the last number of years between the Giants and the Panthers, two high skill teams, and don't really go too physical against each other. They try and let their 5-on-5 skills, this is a consequence of the 4-man system, all the little things that are happening, it's the trailing ref that's getting a lot of these calls.
Well, that's the thing, and it's something that the players are really going to have to take on board, because, you know, there's going to be no point for them to sit back and say, well, you know, this is because the refs have changed. Well, the reality is your team's going to suffer as a result. You're going to keep picking up those penalties. So if they don't tighten up, it's really going to become an issue. And, you know, we have seen how the team does end up suffering as a result of them. And, you know, there are penalties you can take to give your team an advantage, or to, you know, it's a last resort. It's something you've had to do defensively. But then it's those lazy or clumsy penalties that just stack up, and, you know, that they are just going to have to accept that the game has changed, the league has changed, and you either change too or you're going to get left behind.
Simon, let's have a quick word for Brandon Benedict. I know I was giving him a bit of a chirp away back just before Christmas, saying, this is it, Benny, this is the night you're going to get your 50th. You know, confident, I think it was against Edinburgh, saying to him before the game, this is, you know, you're going to score tonight. And there, just last weekend, he gets his 50th, 51, now 52, now 53. You know, bit of a scoring streak, 4-4 for Benny.
He's played well. You know, again, you just sort of, when you get the first one, you're sitting going, all right, okay, that feels good. And obviously the second one, he's getting a bit more confident when he's shooting the puck, and he's just getting into the right areas. I mean, the goal, at the weekend there again. He's just pinching it from the blue line and finds it and manages to sneak it through for Galbraith. But it's just a matter of confidence. And, you know, Benny's a forward. You know, he's been playing D more or less all season due to injuries and suspensions. I reckon if Adam asked him to play in net, he'd play it. You know, he's just that type of guy. He's a top, top lad. He's very, very underrated. His work rate, you know, especially when he plays forward for us and we're in games, you know, he's playing a regular shift. When he's not, you know, he's basically only out along with Toy for the penalty kill. You couldn't ask for a better teammate. Absolute top lad, and great to see him, you know, picking up 4 goals in 4 games.
And we'll probably talk more next week, Simon, about this is the 31st of January, the coveted prize of the AVFPB Player of the Month, and Benny has got a good chance of being in there within the voting.
Listen, I mean, up until that, for the weekend there, I reckon you're probably looking at 6, 7, maybe 8 players again, and Jackson's been great. Darcy Murphy, Steve Saviano, Benny, you know, you obviously, Brendan Connolly, you know, he hasn't won it this year, and he scored a stack of points this month, and there's so many players there. I mean, Spiro's been brilliant in January as well, so you know, there's opportunities there for everybody, but, you know, I'm sure we'll probably put it out tomorrow. The first day, I mean, obviously the game tonight, put it out tomorrow, and we'll get the views of our fan base to see who they feel that deserves the opportunity to be voted for.
We've got to move on, and down the road to Sheffield we move, and on the Sunday at 5 o'clock, the Belfast Giants took on the Sheffield Steelers, going in there for the last time this season in league action. 3-0 before the game, unfortunately 3-1 after the game. The Steelers started with goals from Liam Kirk, Ben O'Connor, Levi Nelson and Andreas Yampton in the first period, Ben O'Connor with a shorthanded one in the second, and then in the third period Mark Marquard with a power play and an ordinary goal, and Jonathan Phillips with another shorthanded to make the final score 8-0. A game of usual sort of bad feeling between the two clubs, plenty of penalties there. We'll come back to Connolly's and Sylvester's incidents. Jackson Whistle and nets a game for the Giants. Got chased after 22 saves off 28 shots. Andrew Dixon coming in relief in the last sort of 7-8 minutes. And Irvin Mustakoff's in between the pipes, shutting the Belfast Giants down completely. So, Simon, or actually we'll go to Victoria. You got the start on the Panthers once, Victoria. You watched this in Technicolor detail down in the Odyssey Cinema. So, what's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, that was unfortunately a painful experience of big screen hockey. It very quickly felt like it was going to be a very bad time for me. Maybe not straight away. And I did wonder actually, had the Giants been able to get a goal off early doors, would that have absolutely mitigated a lot of what followed? But that period when the Steelers then just absolutely seemed to stun them with, I mean, there was 4 goals in 10 minutes, but I think 3 in particular in very quick succession, and it just really, everything felt quite off to me. You know, it's easy to look back after an 8-0 game and say, you know, I kind of saw that it was going to go bad, but it did feel, you know, much more negative than we've seen this team come back from deficits before. You know, other teams coming in, maybe getting a couple of quick goals off, and Giants have been able to get themselves back in there, even go on to win. To me, it didn't feel like that at that point. It very quickly didn't feel doable. If there was something that could go wrong in that game, it did go wrong. Just obviously an 8-0 scoreline, you can't start to say luck or anything like that. It was a pretty poor performance all round. But, you know, there were elements of it as well that you know, they just couldn't catch a break.
Simon, you have to try and find some positives out of everything you do in life, but, you know, defeat, you sometimes learn a lot as well. And, you know, first 3-4 minutes of that game, I know this is going to sound stupid because the game lasts for 60, but first 3 or 4 minutes, the Giants were strong, dominant. They came up with an opportunity there to backdoor Rutherford's, put a shot across the bows of Mustakoff's towards Blair Riley in the slot, just can't get it elevated over the pads, and from there they go down the ice with shocking giveaway from in our own end. Ben O'Connor's then allowed to stick handle through the defence, Levi Nelson for his goal, just no defensive coverage at all, stand at the back stick of even strength with nobody near him. And then obviously Yampton coming up with a shorthanded where Gooley falls. Not a good period for the Giants, goaltending wise, defensive wise, individual mistakes, poor puck coverage, poor defensive coverage. We're not playing the body when we're supposed to, we're not playing the puck when we're supposed to. Just an all round, we stunk the place out a bit.
It was a show. You know, you can have a wee snigger there. It's no problem at all, Victoria. The bottom line, the first goal was horrendous. You know, you turn over the puck in your own zone, and then the shot coming in from the top of the circles for Jackson, he's got to have that. You know, I'm sure he went in that room, go, oh, how did I miss that thing? You know, it wasn't an absolute bullet, and he should have had that goal. And when that went in, I'm sitting going, right, okay, let's regroup and get back at it. And then they got two more within the next minute. When your fourth line scores your first goal, you just know you're in for a crap night. It was a real bad performance. I don't need to go into the dressing room to tell the boys that. They don't need me to put it in social media. You know, they know that, and we're not here to basically, you know, help the players, you know, try and cuddle them over the game, because it was horrendous. There's no way of tidying this up and nice and easy. Like, the bottom line is, it's 2 points, David. It's the same as losing 1-0. Yes, you know, getting embarrassed 8-0 in Sheffield against these, you know, squeeters, and it's a real pain in the ass. But it's one of the ones where you just have to forget about it as quickly as possible. You get to the time of the season where games are coming thick and fast, and you know, you only have to wait 2 days before the next one. So it was just horrendous. As you said, you know, the first 5 minutes, you're sort of thinking, right, you know, it's, we started this game off well. We outshot them 18-6 in the first period.
No, it was, you know, Panthers.
So definitely had our chances.
It was Panthers night before.
Oh, so when I'm looking at the wrong score sheet, yeah, okay, fair enough. We can go back there. But, you know, we put it this way, we did outshoot them in the game. You know, we outshot them in the game, so we had our chances. The Moose played well. It was one of them ones where you just, as I say, you just want to forget about it as quickly as possible. We had a, you know, we had a big crowd at the cinema. You know, we were getting into the game 3-0 in the cinema, and obviously the guys just didn't turn up. So for me, it's, as I say, you just want to erase it from your memory as quick as possible. And luckily enough, we've got a chance to put things right tonight and then move into the weekend, because it doesn't get any easier, do we?
Victoria, we came back out in the second period. We pushed back a bit. I'd shot them 13-8, and we were, you know, body language wasn't too bad. But when we came out into that third period, we kind of lost our discipline ever so slightly. Sorry, second period I'm talking about. Sorry, second period, we lost our discipline a bit. Brendan Connolly gets the game misconduct for checking the head against, I think it was, Young Shudra. And Sebastian Silvestri gets the 2+10 for checking the head as well against Valdix. Now, both have been looked at again by Dobbs. Silvestri, the Dobbs have said that they're happy enough that the call on the night by the referees was plenty, 2+10. And Brendan Connolly has had a bit of supplementary discipline to that. Two games he's going to miss. Tonight's game against the Panthers, and he's going to miss the first of the doubleheader against the Cardiff Devils on Friday. You think a fair enough call both by Dobbs?
Yeah, you know, calls on the night and then the assessment by Dobbs, I don't think anyone can or really should argue with it. You know, it's an element of here we go again, a Steelers Giants game with you know, some real bite to it, and there's definitely been a marked hostility between the two teams. It's not going away. So you know, first and foremost, not going to be a hypocrite about it. Bad hit's a bad hit. Not gonna try to make excuses or try to gloss over it. You know, stupid play. Gons has to take his medicine. I think the tough side of that now is that, yeah, you want to forget about that weekend, but this is the part that you can't. This is the ramifications of it. The Giants have to go forward without an influential player that they really could do with. And, you know, suffered on the night because of the discipline. will suffer going forward. So that's the side of that game that you can't just leave behind and say, you know, we want to forget about that. So that's disappointing in terms of the discipline side of things. I would just say, for me watching it on the night in the cinema, actually, my initial reaction was a bit worse because I didn't catch on what had kind of triggered it, and I thought it came out of nowhere. Colin's hit on Shudra. I thought, has he completely lost the run of himself here? And it was only when I watched it back that I caught the elbow on Cons that wasn't called, just on the other side. And that's absolutely not to say that that's how you retaliate. But it, for me, there was just a bit of context there. And I think that's the thing between these two teams as well. You know, there is that bit of fire, and we know that, but maybe let's just dial down some of the hysteria. It probably didn't help that it was, of course, Mr. Shudra Sr. doing commentary on the game. So, you know, that's his wee son that's just been squished. But, you know, it is his 6-foot-something pro hockey player son. So I think if he'd had his way, Cons might have been in the stocks for the rest of the game and banned for a couple of years, never mind a couple of games. But, you know, it was what it was. And I don't think anyone can really argue that it wasn't a bad hit.
Simon, with Paddy's, obviously, you know, retaliation isn't justification. He loves that one. And Shudra, to be fair, when Jonathan Fernley says about Shudra being young, Shudra comes back and says to him, if he's out on the ice, he's fair game to an extent. So he said he wouldn't take that, you know, under his belt. But you think Dobbs have got these right, Simon?
Yeah, 100%. There was somebody come over to me on Sunday night at the cinema, and they were saying that the referees were horrendous, you know, they didn't call this, they didn't call that, and then they obviously got it wrong on Cons and they got it wrong on Sly. I don't think it did. I thought the referees had a really good game at the weekend. Sly, for me, again, maybe a little bit, you know, does he deserve the 10-minute? It's debatable. But ultimately, it is a hit to the head. Yes, it comes off. You know, to me, I mean, you clip these all up, Davey, for us, and you slow it down and you put it into, you know, you basically zoom in on it as well. So, you know, you're better, probably better to assess this than what I would be. But for me, it comes off his shoulder and then hits Valdix in the head with his, you know, more of his side part of his glove. So 2+10, maybe feel a little bit unfortunate with, but again, it is a hit to the head. So you've just got to suck it up and move on. And even, you know, I think Sly was quite surprised about getting the 10-minute as well when he was getting into the box. But when you look at Cons, whether he's taking a hit at the Irish, I mean, just listen to Victoria, whether he's taking a hit the Irish side of the ice is absolutely irrelevant. You know, he leaves his feet. Yes, he's only 5'2" or 5'3", whatever he is. And Cole Shudra, he's a big boy. He's about 6'2". You can't leave your feet. And ultimately, it's just straight elbow to the side of the head for that kid. And he went down, Jonathan Phillips, fair play to him, dropped the glove straight away to protect his teammate. As a captain, he, you know, he does his role 100% right. But Cons, he can make that play. You know, you're 5 or 6-0 down at the time, whatever it was, and it's a stupid, stupid play. So one of those things you just want to forget about, and he's going to have to, you know, he's let his teammates down. I'm sure Cons is a big enough boy to go into the dressing room and hold his hands up and go, guys, I'm sorry, it's rush above the head, and that's what I think it was. But, you know, it's got repercussions. It leads into tonight. He's not going to play. It leads into Friday night. He's not going to play. So disappointing that way, but suck it up and move on.
Yeah, and I think that's what we'll do as well, Simon. We'll move on. And just before we move on to Wednesday's game, we got a chance to chat with Adam Keefe. Coach, thanks for joining us again on A View from the Bridge. Let's start with the news that broke today, or yesterday as it was, that Tommy Watkins stepping down as GB assistant coach, and Pete Russell's moved quickly to bring you into the fold.
Yeah, it's something that I've been speaking with Pete over the last few weeks about the position, and obviously it's something that I'm interested in doing, and I think it's a great opportunity for me to learn underneath Pete and Corey and take on a different role in a different situation, and again, another opportunity for me to grow as a coach. So I'm happy to be a part of it. I know how much playing for their country it means to these players, and I've obviously played with a bunch of the guys, and I know how important it is. And so I'm happy to be a part of it and happy to assist in any way I can to that team.
How much of a whirlwind has this been from Adam Keefe lacing the skates up, going to war every night, all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but, you know, there's a bit of a succession plan that you wanted to get into coaching, you coaching the Belfast Giants, and now you're coaching at a national level as well?
Yeah, something kind of came unexpected for sure. Basically a message from Pete asking to speak to me. And obviously, I mean, I'm excited about that opportunity to be a part of it and learn. And obviously the focus stays on the Belfast Giants here for the next 2 months. And I'm sure I'll be speaking with Pete and Corey over the next couple months as well, here and there, you know, regarding Team GB and where they feel that they are currently, and you know, who's available for the team and selection, and all different types of things that go into it. You know, obviously I'm new to this and still learning their process they go through to select this team and to put it into action.
As you say, Coach, the GB stuff's, although it's ongoing and you'll be watching guys as they play and talking to Corey and Pete, it's domestic action that we're going to talk about now. And obviously, pretty disappointing weekend. We played the Nottingham Panthers on Saturday night, and despite what I feel was a pretty good performance, and we maybe should take more from the game, we've came away from Nottingham empty-handed.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, I thought we could have had more in Nottingham. I thought it was a good game. I thought we played well. We lost the special teams battle, and in big games against good teams, you know, with the magnitude of the situation, with the league title race, everybody's going to be good, and they're going to be tight games, and your special teams needs to see you through those, and ours didn't on Saturday, and leading into Sunday, obviously, I thought we got off to a good start, actually, in Sheffield, and I thought we had good movement on the power play, the first one we got, and we didn't get anything out of it. And maybe we're looking at a different scoreline or at least a different first period. But immediately following that, we give one up, and then we concede three in 4 minutes, I think. And you know, credit to Sheffield, they smelt blood in the water, and they ran with that momentum, and they were really good from then on, and took over the game, and we kind of allowed our frustration and our discipline to get the better of us, or sorry, I should say lack of discipline to get the better of us, and it kind of escalated from there, and obviously didn't turn out well for us. So you know, but like you said, at the end of the day, thought we deserved more on Saturday. We definitely didn't deserve more on Sunday, but at the end of the day, we got the same amount of points out of both those games. And 1-0 or 8-0, we came out of those games with 0 points. So the crazy thing about this sport, ice hockey, you know, we turn around, we play here again today, and we have a chance to right that wrong and feel good about ourselves going into a big weekend versus Cardiff. And you know, at the end of the day, you don't have a choice but to get over it quick. We can't sit here and feel sorry for ourselves after a tough weekend. No, this does happen in ice hockey, and it's how you bounce back. And if we don't bounce back, we'll really be putting ourselves behind the eight ball here for the next week or two.
Adam, you're talking about bouncing back. You've got a really big opportunity to do that in a very quick succession of time. Nottingham tonight, you're obviously, you've headed over to England already. Do you feel the guys are well, they obviously you're looking for a response, but do you feel they're going to be up for it tonight?
Yeah, I think they will. I think all year long, I think that it has been strength of this team is, you know, down injuries, down suspensions, down bodies, and just in general, and just finding a way to gut out wins. And obviously, with our road schedule, this team has learned how to play on the road and learned how to gut out wins. And tonight's no different. Tonight is a strong test. It's a playoff game, and we need to play a good road game. You know, we need to limit their scoring chances. We need to make the decisions that benefit this team all over the ice. That's puck decisions. That's discipline in terms of penalties. And it's second efforts all over the ice. You know, it's getting to the dirty areas to score goals, and it's protecting Jackson in front of our net. You know, making sure that if they want to score a goal tonight, they're going to have to go through a war to get to him. So you know, that's the focus tonight, you know, really put up a fortress in front of Jackson and make sure that we're taking care of our own end first before we go and try and force offense. You know, our offense will create itself with the guys that we have in this lineup. We don't need to force it, and that's got to be the focus, not just tonight, but going forward in this run in here, because we do have a potent offense, but if you don't play defense, it's going to come back to haunt you, and it did this past week in Sheffield. So we need to get back to where we can play, but we need to take lessons out of that game and not make the same mistakes.
Coach, we have a few questions in on the Twitter here, and some of them surround the team discipline. Now, we've spoke about this team over the course of the season that 5-on-5, we believe we're as good, if not better, than anything else out there. And, you know, discipline at times, this team has hit the self-destruct button at times, and obviously tonight, Brendan Conley misses tonight, he misses Friday night as well. Is it something we're working on continually, just trying to get guys to buy into that process?
Yes, certainly we recognize discipline has been a cause for concern the entire season. I think at times we've got it in check and we've seen good results come from it, and so we know that we're certainly capable of it. And everybody to a man needs to do a better job. And that's including me. I got to find a way to get these guys to check in and buy in to this system that's, you know, playoff hockey. You know, we can't take selfish penalties. We can't take pointless penalties. We can't take, you know, penalties that don't benefit this team. You know, there are penalties that are warranted and you know, stopping a scoring chance, those kind of things. You're willing to kill those off, but the pointless hookings, holdings, interference, roughing after whistles, just retaliation penalties in general, those ones, we got to knock them off. It's simple as that. We have to find a way, and if we don't, you know, we'll find ourselves on the wrong side of the score lines in games that we thought we deserved more. You know, maybe, you know, we're looking at that exact situation Sunday in Nottingham. Well, I thought while some of the penalties maybe I thought may have been a little soft, but there are plenty. A lot of the calls were actual penalties and penalties we did not need to take. So we need to look ourselves in the mirror, and you know, it starts with me, starts with the players that are doing this, and need to realize that they're hurting this team and hurting our chances of winning a trophy, and that's unacceptable. And I countless times we've asked players to be good teammates and be good people, and that's what we want in the Belfast Giants organization. And if you're not, then we're certainly going to have to address it again and again until guys understand. And if they don't understand, then we're not going to come out with anything this season. So, it is certainly a work in progress as well.
Adam, the leadership in the dressing room, you build your team around it from the start of the season. You were talking about some of the big characters that you have as well. Do you feel it's time for the leadership to step up after a disappointing weekend and moving forward to the last remaining 18 league games of the season?
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about it on Tuesday at practice. You know, do what you're brought in here to do. If everybody does their job, we'll be okay. You know, and that starts with our leadership group. You know, our leadership group, they need to step up and be the best players on the ice. You know, and our top goal scorers, they need to step up and put points on the board, and they also need to buy in and play solid, sound defense. And you know, that's where it starts. You know, this is do or die hockey right now, and as well as I thought we played on Saturday, I didn't see that second effort. I didn't see that second playoff passion. You know, the guy who outperforms himself, and I'm looking for that now. I'm looking for somebody to really step outside their boots and put that big performance that everybody sees on display, and pick up this team and really put them on their shoulders. And hopefully we see that coming up. I mean, obviously it's not an overnight reaction, but we certainly need some guys to step up and have some big games for us here coming up. You know, these arguably these next four games are the biggest four games of the season. And I'm sure we'll be saying that for the rest of the year, but certainly they don't get any bigger than the next four.
Coach, you know, it's sort of, as you say, 9-10 weeks of the season left now. And for Adam Keefe, has it been a good experience? It's as close to playing as you could have got. You know, you've decided to hang the skates up. You've gone straight into the coaching role. Is this everything it could have been?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the challenge of everything we've talked about. You know, I've certainly been challenged pretty good this season. I thought, you know, you come into a season in your first year coaching, you're hoping for everything goes right and we win, and it's you know, an easy road in, and you hope for that, but that's not reality. And I certainly found that out quick. And you know, I've been forced to learn on the job, and I've made mistakes and learned from them, and I'll continue to make mistakes. And as long as I'm learning from them, I think I recognize my weaknesses as a coach and my strengths, and continue to work on my weaknesses. And it's certainly been an enjoyable process for me coaching these guys and seeing what they've been through, and that's what I'm talking about here. Is, you know, I feel for these players, and you know, we've worked so hard and to put ourselves in this position to succeed throughout the injuries, the suspensions, the schedule, and you know, if you take a look, despite the weekend that just passed, you know, we still hold our own fate in our hands, and that's an exciting concept going into February, that your fate is in your own hands for all three trophies. And that's where, you know, if you would have told us that at the start of the season, we would have said, yeah, we'll take that right now. So it's still in our hands, and but we need to, you know, the talking's over. We need to step up, and we need to start playing playoff hockey and for the team. And that's starts with our discipline, starts with our puck decisions. And you know, I'm looking forward to it, and obviously, yeah, I mean, it is the closest thing to playing is probably coaching. It's certainly a great challenge and a great experience for me. Obviously, I still miss the playing side of the game and being out there and battling with the players, but it's a bit of a different battle, I guess, behind the bench and trying to feel the momentum before it happens and stop it from changing. I'm trying to keep the guys focused and in the current moment, and not allowing them to, their heads to maybe drift to summertime and be on the lake and, you know, water skiing and doing all that stuff that guys do in the summer. You know, it is a long, stressful season, but if you don't stay focused and you don't stay in the current time, you know, you can find yourself not showing up for big games, and then all of a sudden the season's over. So, you know, it is my job to keep these guys focused and playing at the top of their ability until the end of the season.
Well, Coach, well, thank you for your time, especially on a game day. We wish you luck tonight, and we'll catch up with you later in the week.
No worries, guys. Hopefully the record worked this time.
Cheers, thank you. Always a good chat with Kiefer, says.
Yeah, again, we all know he's 100% honest, and you know that, and that, you know what, I think that's part of the reason, because he's so honest and so upfront. I think that's part of the reason why Pete Russell's asked him to come on board with Team GB as well, and we all wish him the best luck with that.
Yes, and Victoria, we'll let you have your crack at that one there. It's Adam Keefe, obviously, as we talked to him in his interview there, spoke about how the job came about, Tommy Watkins standing down, and he's got the opportunity now to work with Corey Nielsen and Pete Russell in the GB setup.
Yeah, and it's a great appointment for Team GB and a great opportunity for Kiefer as well. You know, it was kind of something that I don't think with it meaning any reflection on Kiefer at the start of the season, but there were a few murmurs of that rookie coach. And, you know, look what he's achieved. You know, they're up there challenging, and you know, I think he's even just in the way he handles himself and learning kind of the coaching side of the job that we don't see. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what he can do for Team GB, given everything that they've achieved with Pete and getting to see them in Belfast for the Worlds, what sort of April last year now. You know, that was great. And yeah, best of luck to them.
Simon, this says a lot about Kiefer in a number of ways. You know, it says about his, what he's done as a coach already, that it's been noticed by the powers that be. It says what he's done on a personal level with Pete Russell over the last number of years, and that he's struck up that relationship, that he's trusted enough to go into the GB setup. And it says, I suppose, as what he's done over the last number of years within British hockey, that he's came in, he's obviously been an example of a teammate and a guy that Pete Russell has looked at and said, I want him in my setup.
He's a winner. You know, he just wanna if he could bottle what he has, it'd be a lot of, you know, he could probably get a few quid for it. And like I've known Pete Russell 25 years now, and you know, as a teammate, as a friend, and you know, I know what he brings to the table, and he's a real stand up lad, and you know, he just says exactly what he's thinking as well. So look, I mean, he's had success from the junior levels right up to the senior level now at Team GP, and in fairness, he's done a reasonably good job of bringing Milton Keynes Lightning into the elite league as well, because he could have took it easy and just said, look, you know, we're happy in the EPIHL and Guildford as well, but they've taken that step up. Yes, they're starting to, you know, find it a bit more difficult when they're on the road and obviously at home as well. But they started off the season absolutely amazingly, and in their own build, they you know, they spanked us the first game of the season when we went away. So it's Pete Russell's a good lad, and I think it's a great appointment. And it'll help Adam as well. You know, Adam's still learning the game as a coach, and you know, it's his first season as a Belfast Giants coach, and going in there, and plus he gets a free holiday to Budapest this year as well. So you know, we all know those Canadians are a wee bit tight, but you know, I'm sure he'll enjoy Budapest when he gets there. But you know, he'll know he's there for business, and he'll be doing his best to try and improve the players and just help them along and bring success to the team.
Just before we move on to Wednesday night, which we're going to, we've obviously, people got in touch over the weekend. Despite us trying to close our Twitter down, people got in touch anyway with their three-word weekends. We better give a few shout-outs to a few of them, and you can discuss any that you think are relevant. Simon and Victoria, Catherine Avery, just disappointed, really. I think that's a fair comment. Dialed it in, James McConville, don't know who he is at all. What just happened? Rebecca Hamilton, Michael Owens, power play problems. One to forget by young Roisin McAvanagh. We're better than this. Better than this, actually, is written, because it's only three words. What was that? -4 points. Complete letdown. We'd all grim, poor, woeful. Wake-up call. Might be true. Next question. What was that? I'm dreading next weekend. The Giants stayed at home. Didn't show up. The blooper reel. No plan B. Not sure about that one. Keelan, Sammy, you want to take that? No plan B. That's one that often gets shouted out whenever a team gets beaten.
It does, and you know, again, like it was crap. It was just absolutely horrendous, and it's one of those ones where you just want to forget about. You know, it's, if you look over our last five seasons, it's the worst result, in my opinion. You know, we've had worse performances and worse results. You know, you look back to the night against Newcastle at the SSE, or well, the Odyssey, but as it was then, and they brought nine skaters and two goalies. And they beat us in our own barn because we just didn't approach the game correctly, both mentally and when we're on the ice as well. So it's you know, I was reading on some of the Facebook and Twitter comments and saying that, you know, that's everything over, you know, just basically hand Cardiff the title now. That's the biggest load of crap. You know, there's no titles handed out in this month in January. Yes, we won it in February 4 years ago. But you know, there's still a long, long way to go. Cardiff have got 19 games left. We've got 18. We've got to face each other five times. Yes, this weekend does now become absolutely crucial for us to get something out of it. I think that we do need to win the 4 points this weekend. If we lose both games and don't get anything out, whether it goes the OT or not, then it becomes a real, real difficult position to get back into, because that'll put them 11 points clear with a game in hand. But again, there's nothing being handed out in the 31st of January, so there's plenty of time left. Just let's, you know, refocus, re-engage tonight to start off with, get a good performance, and then build into Friday.
Victoria, I'll give the last word on the three-word weekends to you, and it's a guy called Mark Smith. His three-word weekend was press the reset button. I think that's a pretty fair way to finish that out.
Absolutely, and you know, I think just to kind of totally agree with what Kitchie said, you know, I absolutely get the fans feeling, you know, gutted and really disappointed and angry even. But there's no point in that the sky's fallen approach. As Kitchie said, it isn't over. There is a long way to go. And I mean, just as one example, given how the games between the Giants and the Steelers have gone for the series throughout this season, who would have said going into that the Giants would be on the bad end of an 8-0 result? You wouldn't have called it that way. So you don't know what's down the road for anyone. And yes, there is a danger. Cardiff are setting themselves up well. There is a danger that they will continue to power ahead. But you don't know that. You know, someone could take a bit of a shine off the tail end of their season. It happens. And all you can do is focus on your own team and just, yeah, push that reset button. Forget about it now.
I'd like to thank everybody that got in touch with their three-word weekends. One thing I'd caveat that with as well, Victoria and Simon, whenever we win, and we won 6 points the weekend before, there's not that really that many three-word weekends because people are pretty happy. It's when we get beat, and we get beat badly. Dozens and dozens and dozens. So just remember, it's just 2 points. It was as bad as a 1-0. The guys will be better this week, hopefully. And we talk about that now. We go to Nottingham tonight. First leg of the Challenge Cup semi-final. It's been a long time coming. September this tournament starts. It's now in the February when we're just getting to semi-final stage. Final in March, hopefully, to come. So how do we approach this tonight, Simon?
I think we should go in there and try and play a really good defensive game. It's important that we don't, you know, we don't commit ourselves too early. And you certainly want to, if you get through the first 20 minutes, you know, the boys are traveling over early today, so hopefully they get a good pre-game rest, and then, you know, traveling down from, I think it's Birmingham, they're flying into, and you'll have that, you know, drive into Nottingham. So, you know, they'll be getting, as soon as they leave the hotel, they'll be getting psyched up, ready to go. Hopefully the performance tonight is a bit different than what it was on Sunday. But I do think we need to keep it tight at the back end. You know, Jackson will be looking to rebound after a disappointing game on Sunday, and for him as well, because he's been brilliant. You know, he's been absolutely magic. And again, the kid's young, and you know, he's still only 22, and there's a long, long way and a long, long career ahead of him if he stays with it. And I just think that tonight, you know, if we can come out of Nottingham, even if we lose, we come out with a goal down or two goals down, I think we can still get into it. So keep it tight deep at the back end, because, you know, Nottingham will be looking to try and get the early lead. They, you know, they've had success against us this year in Nottingham, but I expect a reaction after Sunday night.
And Victoria, obviously, this is Adam Keefe's first opportunity as a coach of getting to a final, and albeit a 120-minute plus potentially game, you know, two legs. Tonight's first leg, is it just as crucial as the second one? It'd be, as Simon has touched on, probably more of a defensive performance, trying to come out of the game with something rather than losing the game in the first leg. So from your own perspective, what kind of game are you expecting tonight?
Well, I think it's going to have to be one of those games where the mental side of it, they're going to have to get over what happened at the weekend and not let that get in their heads. And, you know, given how that went, I wouldn't really like to see them facing another deficit and just mentally the thought of that mountain to climb again in a second game. So I just think it's going to be really important. You know, the Panthers are going to make it hard enough for the Giants. Let's not have the Giants make it hard for themselves. You know, do the little things right. Keep it simple. You know, that's something coaches like Derek Walser previously and Kiefer now, you know, just play your game. Don't let anybody else dictate your style of play. And, you know, the Panthers are going to be coming in feeling pretty good about themselves, you know, having got that win over the Giants and just, you know, Luke Pither getting his two goals on his debut. And that even those kind of individual things, they just boost the team as a whole. So, the Giants, yeah, I'd like to see them just be able to give themselves something positive. I don't think, like Kitchy said, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if they did end up, you know, a goal or even two down. I do think we've seen that they've got the grit and the determination to deal with that. But yeah, just given how the weekend went, I think it would be good for them just to have something maybe a bit more positive.
Paddy's not here this week. We'll move on from the Panthers game. We're going to give the Around the League section a miss this week, as it's a Belfast Giants podcast. Paddy likes to do that, but me and Simon don't really enjoy that part of the show. So this Friday night, massive two games coming up as well. One game on Friday, one game on Saturday. We'll just look at Friday's first of all. Cardiff Devils, reigning champions, coming in, riding high, top of the league. Few points in hand, few games in hand. You must be pretty happy where your team are sitting.
Yeah, I mean, we're always happy where you are when you're in first place, but there's so much hockey left to play, and I think you know, like either team that does well, if, you know, if one team sweeps this weekend or if we split, whatever, it's still not going to decide. Like, I mean, it is a huge weekend, but it's not going to decide the season, because there's no good us beating you twice or you beating us twice, and then you know, the next weekend dropping points to someone else. And you know, it's a big 2 points or a big 4 points because we're playing each other, but it's far from over after this weekend. Like, there's still plenty of hockey left to play. So,
Todd, you've got obviously, you know, big game tonight as well. You've got Sheffield Steelers up. It sort of gives you a welcome distraction from the league, or is it just a matter of, you know, you obviously want to get into the final of Challenge Cup as well, and the first leg tonight giving you an opportunity?
Yeah, it's massive. It's the same situation you guys are in, and it's not ideal, the timing of it. You don't like to have to play three games in four nights, especially when the last two games are away to Belfast, but I'm sure you guys don't want to travel midweek and then go back home to play two games either. The semifinal is so important. We love the Challenge Cup. We think it's an important trophy. It's hard to win. And you want to be in with a shout with every chance you get, with every trophy. No, it's a massive weekend. The timing of the Challenge Cup doesn't come at a good time for either club or all four clubs, but, you know, like, I talked to Thorts before, and we coordinated. We didn't want to really disadvantage either team, and it's fair that we're both playing on the Wednesday and then have them play on the Friday again. So, it should be interesting. It should be a really good weekend, and you know, we're both teams that have plenty of bodies, so you can't really blame the fixture congestion on that performance. We've all got enough guys that, you know, we're not playing three line hockey and five defense anymore, so we all should be okay, and it'll be two great games.
It's not often you get to have the head of Dobbs on, and obviously you've had to suspend one of your own players for the weekend there, and tonight he'll miss out as well. We've got ourselves, Brendan Connolly's taking a 2-game suspension, but in looking at the new Dobbs setup, you know, a few press releases that they've put out, that, you know, it's definitely an evolution here where it's getting, player safety has become more prevalent. It's becoming the key issue. And along with the four-man system, obviously things are getting better in this league.
I think it is. I think it's the whole point of Dobbs is to, I mean, it started because of the Fredder attack on Galakis, and I think under the old system, well, we saw what the old system thought. They thought that was a one-game suspension. And the old system, you just never knew. There was no consistency. There was no explanation. There were things happening that you think, well, that might be 3 games and it was nothing. And then that might be, well, that might be downgraded to a boarding call and it was 5 games. There was no explanation and there was no rhyme or reason or what was being called and no consistency. And at least now, you know, it's pretty consistent and it's harsh. Like, but the whole point of Dobbs is to clean it up. And part of the whole new system was getting the four-man referee system in, which I think is great. And I think it speeds up the game. And I know lots of fans make the joke that, oh, it's just four people that are not doing a good job and instead of three people not doing a job. But I think that's wrong. I think it is improving officials. And there's the only way to get better is and to get new referees into the game is by doing a four-man system. Like, you think the pressure on a referee, and would you rather share the pressure with another referee and because you're collectively going to be able to call more or going to see more than the three-man system? Like, a new guy coming into our league, especially making the jump from the league below, it's a hell of a jump already, but it's even more of a jump if you're having to go and trying to go just in a single referee. So you go from refereeing the you know, Swindon versus Peterborough to refereeing Sheffield versus Nottingham. It's a big difference. So I'm a big fan of the four-man system.
Your fourth season now in Cardiff, owner, managing director. Do you think you've got the success quicker than you expected, Todd? Because, I mean, ultimately, we all knew that you're obviously with the success you got to Belfast when you were here, we all knew that you were going to be a success in Cardiff. But do you think it's came at a little bit quicker with all the trophies that you've won so far?
It's hard to say, really, because we, you know, when we came in here the first year, you never really plan for success. You know, you never really plan for things in hockey. So, you know, you think, like, very first year we won the Challenge Cup and we finished second in the league. I think we lost the league the last weekend of the season. And I didn't think we should, you know, with the team we had, and I just didn't think we'd compete the first few games. I remember playing the exhibition series, and I actually was talking to Kiefer and Shieldy after the game, and I was like, man, we gotta do something. Like, our team was running around. We ran the goalie in preseason. I think we ran Murph, and I was just kind of shocked at everything, the way we were doing things. But Andrew Lord's done a tremendous job, and every year, like, we didn't really have a betting in period. It's easy to look back on it and be like, oh yeah, we knew right away, but, like, I gotta be honest, we didn't know right away. But then, you know, midway through the season, you know, the year some of our guys were having, Andrew Hotham and Joey Martin, we were just like, we're pretty good. And winning the Challenge Cup the first year was really special because, you know, it reminded me of the first trophy that I won with Thorts. It was such a relief, actually, to see that you actually could win something somewhere else, you know. So for us to get something that first year was very special. The second year here, we lost the league. It was our own fault. We were ahead of everyone pretty comfortably, to be honest with you. And then we just fell apart. And I honestly think we ran out of gas. We had so many games and we didn't have four lines back then. We had 10 forwards and we just ran out of gas and lost in the Challenge Cup final and kind of went all in on that. And then we fell apart in the league. We lost like 4-0 and Seb, I think, and lost it. But then last year it all came together and we've all had years like that. We had a year like that in Belfast when we sort of ran away with the league and didn't have the success in the Challenge Cup when 80 was there, but we had, you know, that was a special year. And anytime you win anything, like whether it's one trophy or two trophies or whatever, it's special. But then, you know, last year losing in the playoffs, it still makes you hungry for more. So I don't know. I guess to answer the question, was I surprised? Yeah, I was, you're always surprised to win, I guess, but, you know, we got a formula. I had a formula in Belfast, and I didn't really change anything when I came here. And it's just different bodies, but the principles are still the same of what we kind of do on and off the ice. I'm proud that the two teams that, you know, I've been in charge of are considered the two, probably the two best teams in the league as far as operationally on and off the ice. So.
I know it might be a little begrudging, and I'm sure you miss us every bit as much as we miss you, but, you know, you're talking there about the formula for success that we had in Belfast, and one of those key things was having the British goaltender that allowed you the different options with the, you know, with the import system and going over there, getting Ben Bounds, a raw young talent from Hull, and how he's developed has been key to your franchise.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He was just a big... like, just raw talent, to be honest with you. I don't think he'd ever been properly coached, but he's our backbone right now, and he's been great the last few weeks. It's nice having a big body of a goalie. Like, you know how I felt about Murph. I love Murph. And I used to always say, like, if my game was on, if I had, was in British hockey, my game was on my life, my life depended on a win, I'd want Stephen Murphy back there. I'd say the same thing about Boundsy now. You know, Murph was a big game player. He always seemed to play best in a bigger game, so you never really worried about him. And Boundsy, you know, I'm glad that we brought him up the way we did and got him his first title because he's, you know, because he won here early and now he's had success. So he just steps up and he plays big in the big games and you need that to be successful in this league. And, you know, he's not a young guy anymore. He's like, he was 23 when we started with him, but he's 27 now and he's more mature and he's settled in Cardiff, and I think we'll have him for a few more years.
Todd, obviously this weekend, you know, there'd be a big crowd coming over that the Red Army travel that do very well, getting out in numbers, and this weekend's going to be no exception, 400-500. I think I've seen Geraint, you know, Titan on Twitter there, and you're bringing a few sponsors with you yourself. Are you looking forward to getting home?
I don't live there anymore. I am looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. I don't know if you're both there. Hopefully you're there too, Davey. I'm looking forward to catching up with Sizz. I love coming back there. I came back for Shieldy's testimonial, and it was pretty nostalgic, and it was fun. And it's, you know, I got to admit, it's hard coming back there because you know you have the best arena in the league by a mile, and people can say it's Nottingham or Sheffield or whatever, but I know I'm biased, but I think what you guys have in Belfast is by far the best arena, and the, you know, the staff at the arena are great, and I miss the people that I worked with. And, you know, like, obviously I was very tight with James Glover and Mark Brooks, and we worked pretty closely together for years and had a lot of success and a lot of fun together, and I miss those guys a lot. And, it'll be good fun to catch up with everyone. I'll probably have to go to the Dirty Duck in Hollywood for a pint because I haven't been there in a few years, so...
We'll tag the Dirty Duck in a tweet and see if we can get you a few quid off there, Todd, you know. But we'll look forward to catching up with you at the weekend, and thanks very much for your time, as always.
Okay. All right.
So it's back to Elite League action this weekend. Friday night, the Cardiff Devils come into town, and Victoria, they don't come any bigger than this. The reigning champions coming in, they're top of the league. They've got a little gap from us. They've games in hand. It's all to play for, but the Belfast Giants really need to play Belfast Giants 5-on-5 hockey this weekend.
Absolutely. As you say, they don't come much bigger. You know, it sounds so stately obvious, but this is the Giants' chance to bag some points and at the same time stop Cardiff extending that lead at the top. And you know, they're up there for a reason. They are a really good team, the defending champions, and you just want to put in a good showing, I think. And, you know, at some point, as long as you play well against them and you can hold your head up, and if on the night they end up being better, at some point you just have to tip your hat and say, well, that's how it went down. But I think, yeah, it would be very, very disappointing to see the Giants not put up a good showing, because in as much as Cardiff are a good team and they're up there at the top and creating a bit of a lead for themselves, they're not unbeatable. And I think it would be wrong to go into it with that attitude.
Simon, some quality players in the Cardiff Devils roster, you know, you only need to look at the top of their standings. Joey Martin, fantastic again at the back end. Andrew Hawthorne, Bentifoglio, I know you love saying that one, on the old webcast, and of course backstopped by the giant and net of Ben Bounds.
Look, they're stacked with good players. You know, they've added a couple of pieces of their jigsaw from last season, but they're beatable. You know, we've beat them already twice this season in their own building. They beat us, wasn't it 3-0 they beat us in Belfast?
Yeah.
So you know, there's an opportunity there to get back on the league. You know, trying to concentrate and push forward after last weekend, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. Not too sure who the officials are. They'll need to be strong. But I'm expecting two really good games. Cardiff will come in, and I reckon they'll sit back and try and absorb the pressure. You know, collapse around their goalie when they have to. And Ben Bounds has been good, but he's beatable, Davey. You know, he's definitely got his weaknesses. He's not the perfect goaltender, but he's definitely had a couple of good seasons there now in South Wales. So it's one of those games for us where we need to perform. So on Friday night, you know, I know Adam doesn't like looking too far ahead and then just concentrating on the next game, which is obviously tonight against Nottingham. But going into this weekend, Friday and Saturday, two massive, massive games. I think they're bringing the region of 450 to 500 fans over with them. So they'll be loud. I mean, they will be loud. They're, you know, they're all coming over for a party in Belfast, and hopefully we can send them to onward ale houses on Friday and Saturday night with not too much to cheer about. So we'll have to wait and see how it turns out. But for me, Friday night's absolutely crucial. We need to get something out of these two games. If we don't, we're digging ourselves a massive hole to get out of.
And what is the Victoria Steve Lee key to the weekend?
Oh, Gosh, if I knew that, I wouldn't be talking to you guys. I'd be working for Kafer probably. I think it's just going to be kind of all the things that we've touched on, you know, play your own game, and don't let Cardiff come in and dictate how the game's going to go. I think the Sheffield games in particular aren't a great reflection just because of that extra fire to it, just in terms of discipline and things like that. But I think it'll be really important just to keep those like kind of minor penalties just in check, and you know, not letting that ruin our game plan or anything on discipline. But you know, I don't think there's necessarily the same animosity just as there is or has been this season with Sheffield. So you know, you would kind of hope you're not going to be seeing something like that where you're ending up losing players to suspensions or whatever. So, but yeah, just a tighter game.
Simon, I'll give the final word on the games to you here, and sort of touch on what Victoria said herself. Discipline and playing 5-on-5, are those our keys?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when we, you know, Dave, you do all these stats, and you know, you're always saying about Jonathan Ferland banging guys up against walls and you know, taking the block shots in the equation as well. All these wee things that add up to good performances. And the past weekend, I think we got away from that. You know, Jonathan Ferland still finished his hits, but he wasn't many other guys who were doing it. Then you had, you know, I'm trying to think of block shots, especially on Sunday. I can't remember anybody sacrificing their body to stop the puck getting through to Jackson, and then obviously, you know, Dicko, who we didn't touch on, and, you know, he had a difficult night, got in there, you know, 6-0 down, he conceded the two goals, but he'll be disappointed, and I do see it's going to be very, very difficult, Davey, but again, we'll just have to put her, you're one of your wee lines, we'll have to put her best foot forward, and come out and perform. There's not going to be any easy way to take points off Cardiff. If you're going to have to go out there, and you're going to have to earn it.
That's a good place to move on to. Any other business?
I just think that the Giants fan base, Davey, again, just watching on Twitter and Facebook, and you know, it's the end of the world. And look, you know what? Nobody's died here. It's 2 points. Forget about it. You know, there's so many guys out there who take it so thick. You know what? I really love that about our fan base. You know, they come out and they take it so seriously. But once a game's over, you know, especially when you wake up the next morning and, you know, okay, the sun was shining on Monday for a change in Belfast. You know what? You forget about it and you move on. Get it, concentrate on the next game, and we'll just take it from there and see what happens. But for me, any other business was I just had to thank the Sheffield Steelers. This is actually hurting me. I have to thank the Sheffield Steelers and their Sheffield Steelers TV for allowing us to show the game in the cinema on Sunday night. You know, again, another great crowd turned out. The Odyssey Cinema, obviously, you know, they help us out, and just that little bit, we bit something different for our fans to be able to watch a game. Yes, there was people left. There was actually people left in the middle of the second period, believe it or not. And then there was probably only, I would say, about 50 or 60% of the crowd that started to actually finish the game. So that shows how disappointed they were. But you know what? It was disappointing. But thanks very much to Sheffield Steelers TV for letting the OSC show the game. And hopefully we'll maybe get another one before the end of the year.
And with that, Victoria, the mic is yours. Any other business?
Well, I mean, I would just say that was my first experience of big screen hockey at the weekend. And I didn't know it was going to be a horror film, and I wasn't really prepared for that. But it is a credit to the organisers, and it is a great time. So, you know, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, do get down. It's just kind of that touch of game night experience when the guys are on the road. And if things do go south, you can comfort eat popcorn to your heart's content. The game aside, it's a good experience. And I also have to say thank you to you guys for having me on the podcast. I'm usually listening on my break in work or something like that. So it's been fun to be on the other side of things.
Well, I think on behalf of Simon and me and Paddy and everybody else involved in the VFTB, it's been great fun having you. Been a refreshing change from listening to Smith chanter on. So you're welcome anytime, Victoria. Obviously, this is your second debut, as we said at the top of the show. Apologies for that again. But thanks for your time. And
what, what happened there, Davey?
It's just a little technical hitch, Simon. But thank you both for your time. And we'll hopefully be in Nottingham tonight. We'll be tweeting updates because obviously there's no webcast from Nottingham. And but wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you next time. All of you from the bridge.